All right, we've been working on our memory verse. Anybody started saying that with your kids yet? Awesome. Way to go. Have any of you memorized it yourself? You're in the process, aren't you? So repeat after me. On the last and greatest day of the feast.
On the last and greatest day of the feast.
Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. John 7:37-38. John 7:37-38. Okay, can you black the screen out? On the last and greatest day of the feast. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. John 7:37-38. John 7:37-38. On the last and greatest day of the feast. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. John 7:37-38. John 7:37-38. Then you go right to sleep. Let me give you my understanding of when Jesus said that. It was the last and greatest day of the feast. And it was the feast where they celebrated the giving of the law. And on the last day, they particularly celebrated when Moses spoke and after he had earlier struck the rock. And out of the rock came rivers of living water. So during this festival, one of the things they would do, they would splash, I mean, it was a celebration. And they were splashing water everywhere. I won't say that it was like a water fight because I don't think they had that much freedom. But they were splashing water everywhere in celebration of this river. So in the middle of all of this ruckus and this splashing, Jesus stands up and he says, if anybody's thirsty, well, they were all thinking about water in the desert. He says, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So they already had this picture in their mind of this river coming out enough to give drink to a couple million people and all their animals. This was no some little stream. This was a roaring river. And Jesus said, that's what it's like. If you're thirsty, come to me. And this unending stream, this roaring river of the life and the presence of God is going to come out. And the very next verse, which we don't include when we are saying this, is verse 39. It says, this he spoke about the Holy Spirit, who those who believed in him were later to receive. He is specifically talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I like that. Sounds fun to me. So this morning when I was in that in-between state somewhere, I may have been up for, I don't know, an hour, but I was still in that in-between state. Hadn't had enough coffee yet. But I heard the Lord whisper. And as the day progressed, I realized it was all of you that he was speaking of and calling firewalkers. And the first thing I thought of was, you know, what we would normally think of as firewalkers. And you've seen people, you know, they get all worked up to walk across these bed of coals or run as fast as you can and get across there. But the picture that I saw was us walking in the fire of God. We carry him in our hearts. We walk in the fire of God. We are firewalkers. We carry the fire of God. It's interesting. We carry both that river of life and the fire of God. And the wind of the Holy Spirit blows on us. And we are earth. So you got earth, wind, fire, and water. You got all these elements that signify God and his presence in this dust. We live because God took dust from the earth and formed a body and breathed into it. And we became living beings. His breath in our lungs, made from the dust of the earth. The Holy Spirit like a river inside of us, and the fire of God within us. You're a firewalker. I just want to stop and say thank you to Janelle and Casey. The last, every time, they may have initiated it the first time, but I've grabbed them before each time and have them pray over me and try to stand up. Just because the presence of God, anything you do, pray over it. Pray God's blessing on it. Lean into him. See what he says. It is so, so good. And thank you, Beth, for just living there and releasing on us. And you've done that over people for probably decades, I'm sure. But I know it has you have grown, and it has increased exponentially. And it just goes out from you and changes people's lives. And they pick it up, and they do the same wherever they go as well. Because we know, and we are, and the Holy Spirit continues to teach us that we are partners with God. We are partners with him. We can't do it without him. He won't do it without us. Did you catch that? His kingdom come, his will be done on the earth. We can't do it. We can't do the supernatural without him. He won't do it without us. Yes, I know there's other, you know, that's not a lock him in the box deal. But typically, he can't do it without us. He wants to work with us. Or he won't do it without us. We can't do it without him. It's a partnership. He wants to release the kingdom on the earth through you. Yes, Papa, we drink you in. We drink you in, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, we drink you in. Just do that in your heart. Just drink him in. We're drinking you in, Holy Spirit. Yes, yes, yes. Your wind, your fire, your living water. We drink you in. We drink you in. Thank you, Jesus. One more item of business before we continue. How many of you have your book yet? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Is that most everybody? I'm going to have Sharon come and share something that she found. We couldn't find it. We had read it before, and we haven't been able to find our copy yet. And I did that with one book we read at another time. Come on up, hon. And I had read it before, and I had it all marked up, but I wanted it to be fresh. So I got a copy of it that would read to me, an audio book. And I loved that because I got so much, I got a different perspective on the book listening to it as well as reading it. So she found it for free.
So I went to Google and I typed in Good Morning Holy Spirit audio, and it popped up in several different forms. And so a gentleman's reading it. I think it's on YouTube. Yeah, it is. So they'll read it to you. And you don't have to have Audible or anything, you know, or Kindle. You can just listen to it on your phone.
Yep. It is. We were listening to it before we came tonight, and yeah, I highly recommend that you add that to that. And if you haven't gotten the book yet, I think most of you have, but if you haven't, you can grab it there and listen to it for free. So, hey, that's awesome. The Holy Spirit of Truth He is a truth speaker. The Holy Spirit always tells you truth, not circumstance. I mean, he can explain circumstance. He can give you a word of knowledge that might be about circumstance that is supernatural. We had a friend, Lance and Teresa. She went to take a meal to her husband in the field. And when she pulled out in the field, her muffler caught the wheat on fire, which is a horrible thing to have a fire in a wheat field. And she got out and she was in somewhat of a panic. And immediately she heard from the Lord and said, there's a blanket in the trunk. And so she went back there. She didn't know there was a blanket. She was able to grab the blanket and beat the fire out before it got away. Holy Spirit, he's an awesome helper and a friend. But he always tells you the truth. He always gives you the truth. He tells you the way things are from God's perspective, not necessarily the way things are from circumstance. Circumstance can change. You can look at your circumstance and say, it'll never change. I keep struggling with this. My family keeps struggling with this. It's going to be like this forever. And why even try? You may look at the circumstance and feel that way. That's not what the Holy Spirit will tell you. He will whisper to your mind the promises for you and your whole household. The promise of salvation is for you and your whole household. You are strong. You are a part of the family. You are destined for greatness. You are going to live a long and happy life. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to see the salvation of your children and your grandchildren and their children after them. You're going to see the kingdom of God come and be established not only in your home, but in all the people and all the places that you go. The kingdom of God will increase and his presence will advance because he is with you. That's the type of things that the Holy Spirit will speak to you because that's the truth. That's the word of God. And it says of itself, it is forever settled in heaven. God's will is good and it's perfect. So when the truth teller speaks, he's going to speak according to the will of God and the truth. God doesn't want me anymore. I failed and I'm just such a mess. And when you want to partner with the truth speaker, the truth teller, you want to partner with the Holy Spirit, not the liar, who will just repeat circumstance to you and tell you what a failure you are and how it will never change. Rather, partner with the Holy Spirit and what he calls you and how he sees your future. Just like to Gideon. Hiding out because of the enemy that had overrun the country. Wasn't out on the threshing floor where you would normally thresh wheat, throw it up in the air so the wind could blow the chaff away and the wheat fall down. He was hiding out in the wine press for fear of the enemy. It was not very convenient for threshing. So it was very inconvenient, his present circumstances, because of the oppression of the enemy. You ever been in inconvenient circumstances because you were oppressed by the enemy, whatever form he was taking at the time? And the angel of God shows up. And he echoes the Holy Spirit. And he spoke the truth of God over Gideon. You know, for years I used to think God has such a sense of humor. Oh, it's way better than a sense of humor. God definitely has a sense of humor, but this is way better. He was speaking the truth of Gideon's future, what God saw him as and called him to and went to him and gave him a deposit of what the future was going to be so he could get him there. Hail, mighty man of valor. You're a warrior. That's who you are. You're not a coward. You're a warrior. You're going to lead, not cower behind and hide. And we respond sometimes like Gideon does. Well, but here's all the reasons that it can't happen for me. I'm the least in my family. My family's the least in our tribe. Our tribe is the least in the nation. It's not, you know. You may try to talk God out of it, but he's not going to listen to your excuses. I love it when Jesus went to the man who'd been paralyzed for 38 years. Do you remember that by the pool of Bethesda? Or was it Siloam? One of those pools. Bethesda, thank you. He said, do you want to get well? Well, duh, Jesus. I'm here by this pool, been here for 38 years. What do you think? But here's the problem why I will never get healed. Here's why it will never work for me. I don't have anybody to help me. You know, the devil will lie to you with things like that and point out to you, you don't have what you need to succeed. You don't have what you need to get healed. You don't have what you need for this to work out and for you to walk in the blessing of God. That's what he started telling Jesus, was all the reasons why it couldn't happen for him. Whenever the angel comes and stirs up this pool, other people have people to help them, or they're able, they get in ahead of me, and it's never works for me. But what faith this guy had, that he was there for 38 years, still maintaining some hope. And I'm so glad that Jesus didn't say, yeah, you're probably right. He didn't even address all of his excuses. He just went straight to it and said, get up, take your mat, go. He spoke the word over him, and it released healing. And the Holy Spirit came into him and strengthened his legs, and he got up. It caused problems. Sometimes miracles do. The devil doesn't usually like it. And that's a good thing, because it's time for him to suffer and not the people of God. I love what Mike Tyson said. Everybody has a plan till you get hit in the face. And sometimes you feel like you get hit in the face when you're just trying to do something for God. He says, but then it's important what you do after that. You get up and make him pay. When you feel like the enemy has hit you in the face, it may have knocked you out of all the plans that you had, but get up and make him pay. Get up and worship God anyway. Get up and bless him. Get up and stand on the word of God. Well, the word of God says that he's going to bless me in my long and happy life. The word of God says that Jesus paid for all of my sickness, disease, and health. He paid for all of my sin and failure and shortcomings. He paid for me to be a part of the kingdom of God, and now I'm a child of God, and I'm the overcomer, not the overcome. And echo what God says in his word. The Holy Spirit will inspire you to do that because he is the truth teller. Jesus said he speaks the truth. Amen. The Holy Spirit tells you the truth of what Papa says in his word about you. Let him tell you the truth. Let him remind you, we're still in review. Let him remind you of the promises of God, his word over your life. What has he been saying about you? I think he wants you to be thinking in these types of ideas. And began to pick up, you know, when Tim's preaching, when you are listening to someone else, or it may be a song, the Holy Spirit will highlight things and it'll jump out to you. When I'm taking notes, some of you know the kind of notes I take, they end up looking like my Bible does. It's got stuff in it. But I'm taking notes, and it's okay. In my opinion, if you're in this room and you're doodling, you have my blessing. Because I know as a doodler myself, I'm paying more attention if I'm doing this. But when I try to follow with, line upon line and notes, and I love it that we have helps on the screen that helps me stay with that. But let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit, when something leaps into your heart or grabs your attention, write it down. When you're reading your Bible and it leaps off the page to you, mark it. Have a notebook, write it down so that you can review that. The things that the Holy Spirit, the truth teller, causes to come alive in your heart, they are life-giving things that he's wanting to feed you with. And one of the important things that a teacher will tell you is, and Holy Spirit is a teacher, that it's so important for you to review what you've learned. go back over it. And if you've underlined, made notes, highlighted it, you have something you can go back to, and you'll be surprised how it just never loses its feeding ability. How many of you really enjoy a really good steak? How many of you went back to the place where you have your very favorite steak and thought, oh, I had that once. I don't need to have that again. I'll probably have, you know, I don't know, maybe a hot dog. We never do that, do we? You can go back to that meal again and again, and it is so good, and it still feeds you. And if you haven't had it for a while, your mouth might even start to water thinking about it. God's word is just as rich and full of his life and nutrients. And some of those things that have been a part of your life forever, you can go back to them and it still feeds you. It still blesses you. It still encourages your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. It builds you and encourages you. Those things that the Holy Spirit makes alive to you, they're life changers, course setting, course correcting, they're food, they're power releasers. And when the Holy Spirit lives in us, he comforts us. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17 from the Passion Translation, and there is a bunch here, let me tell you. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior. I tripped over that the first time I read that. I will ask the Father, he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live in you. Another Savior, the Greek word allos there means another of the same kind. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. His heart is to rescue you. His heart is to take what Jesus paid for and make it a part of your life. Another of the same kind. A Savior, that word Savior there is the Greek word parakletos, a technical word that can be translated defense attorney, one called along to stand next to you as a helper, the truth speaker, the helper, to come and take the life and of God and everything Jesus has paid for and work it into the very fabric of who you are and change your life. He will be to you a friend just like me. One thing you'll discover as you read through Good Morning, Holy Spirit, is that he learned how much of a friend the Holy Spirit wants to be in your life. A friend just like Jesus. And he'll never leave you. The world doesn't receive him because they don't know him. It says, but you know him intimately. And he remains with you, and he will live inside of you. John chapter 14, verse 26, but when the Father sends the Holy Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name, and he will inspire you to remember every word I've told you. The very Spirit of holiness. You know what holiness is? Being like God. You know, I grew up in a Christian church. Well, grew up heathen first, and then we started going to the Christian church. And then when I was a junior in high school, I was introduced to some people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they had us come to their Bible study, and we got crazy involved with all of that stuff. And we even went to their church once in a while, which was an Assembly of God church. And that's how I ended up with assemblies for a few decades. And there was all, just like in any denomination, there was all different flavors from one church to another. And there were definitely some who were, we would call them old school. that to be right with God, you had to have your arms covered up, ladies, and your legs covered up, and that would be terrible if you wore makeup, that ungodly stuff. way back in the day, that's, you know, we were exposed to that. But we were so hungry for God, we could overlook that because we'd experience the presence of God. If you are hungry for God and his presence and you love him and you love people, you can overlook a lot. And that is so true today. When you're dealing with people who are just coming to him, making their way to him and growing in him, or who are pre-believers, you can overlook a lot just by choosing to love them. Just love them. It is so true that people really don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And I know of one situation where somebody invited somebody to church. It was one of their neighbors, and they said, "You've never even had me over to your house for coffee. Why would I want to go to your church?" Ouch. The most important thing to do is to love people. Nobody wants to be your special project. You know, we're here to help you. We're here to win you to Jesus. Everybody wants another friend. If you start with that attitude and that heart to be their friend, to love them, to bless them, it's amazing how God opens the door and the Holy Spirit knows when to nudge you. Don't you love that? When you're, and then because you've already established some rapport that's based on love and friendship, they're way more willing to hear what the Holy Spirit is nudging you to tell them. The other day, this was a one that was just a little further out for me. There was a man in the store at closing time, and I was drawn to him, and, you know, just had a chance to say one or two sentences back and forth, because we'd already done the thing where we shut off half the lights and made the announcements, you got to bring your stuff up so we can get you out of here so we can eventually all go home. It's not quite how they make the announcement, but... And I was in the far room where you close down. I lock that door up and go around to the front. So I was praying, "Lord, if you want me to say something to him, you're going to have to work it out for me to see him." I was locking up the front door, and I thought, I know that's that guy's pickup. That's got to be his pickup. And was walking up. Sure enough, he came out the front door, was leaving. And I asked the Lord what he wanted to say to him, and I got a picture. And all I got was a candle, and it was getting darker, and it turned into like a bunch of Roman candles that were shooting off as it got darker. I thought, this is weird. I'm not even sure what that means. So, but anyway, I started talking to the guy and shook his hand and said, "You know, I just had you on my heart, and I was just asking the Lord about you, and I just, you know, jumped off the cliff and hope I hit water." And I told him what I'd seen. And he was just looking at me for a bit. And he said, "That really means something to me." And he started to explain without explaining about going through something recently where it was life-threatening. And he said, "That really means something to me." So I thought, awesome. And I just began to share with him about God's heart towards him, how much he loves the guy and wants to bless him. So sometimes it can be really, what happens if you do something like that and they say, "What is that? Hey, I'm just trying to learn to hear God's voice because he loves you so much, and I just was want to encourage you, and just know that he loves you." And just move on, because that's the truth. We're just trying to learn to hear God's voice. Oh, what's the big prophetic guy in California? Sean Bowles. I loved it. Really encouraged me when he told a story of he went to a coffee place and he thought he had something, maybe even a date for a guy sitting at a table drinking coffee. And he went over and told him, and he said, does this mean anything to you? And told him what he had. The guy looked at him and said, nope, sure doesn't. And he apologized and said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just, you know, I'm a believer and trying to learn to hear God's voice and encourage people. And he says, you're a Christian? Yeah, I am. Can you sit down and talk to me for a minute? Yes, I can. Sat down and visited with this guy for over a half hour. Ended up leading him to Jesus. And then he finds out later that he is, among other things, a producer in Hollywood. God can use your mistakes to win people to Jesus that are influential that you have no idea. Go ahead and take the adventure. This friend absolutely loves you. He wants you to be a success. He wants to see the kingdom of God advance, and he wants people to know how much he loves them. So take the chance to let them know. Gosh, we have to be getting close, aren't we? Yes, about 3 minutes. Holy Spirit, how do you want to do this? We're almost there, but the very next thing is you need the power of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. How many of you have a prayer language and you pray in the Spirit on a regular basis? Awesome. Awesome. Do that even when you don't feel like it. I've talked to lots of people, and it has to be kind of a special time when they do that. No, you were given that gift. You have a responsibility to use it. Begin to confess over yourself. One of my books that I go to a lot that I have prophecies and promises and confessions written in, I have written in there several times because I noticed that I was not praying in tongues very often. So I started confessing over myself, I am a tongue talker. I am a tongue talker. And just whenever I would be praying and I'd come across that, I would say that and remind myself, that's part of who I am. I have a miracle gift. I'm going to use it. And there is so much of heaven that is released as you pray in the Spirit. So let me encourage you to do that.